Prologue. Morgareth, Lord of the Mountains of Rain and Night, former Baron of Gorlan in the Kingdom of Araluen, looked out over his bleak, rain-swept domain, and for perhaps the thousandth time, cursed. This was all that was left to him now, a jumble of rugged granite cliffs, tumbled boulders and icy mountains, of sheer gorges and steep narrow passes, of gravel and rock, with never a tree or a sign of green, to break the monotony. Even though it had been 15 years since he had been driven back into this forbidding realm that had become his prison, he could still remember the pleasant green glades and thickly forested hills of his former fief. The streams filled with fish, and the fields rich with crops and game. Gorlan had been a beautiful, living place. The mountains of Rain and Night were dead and desolate. A platoon of Wargulls was drilling in the castle yard below him. Morgareth watched them for a few seconds, listening to the guttural, rhythmic chant that accompanied all their movements. They were stocky, misshapen beings, with features that were halfway human, but with a long, brutish muzzle and fangs like a bear or a large dog. Avoiding all contact with humans, the Wargulls had lived and bred in these remote mountains since ancient times. No one in living memory had ever set eyes upon one, but rumours and legends had persisted of a savage tribe of semi-intelligent beasts in the mountains. Morgareth, planning a revolt against the Kingdom of Araluen, had left Gorlan and Fief to seek them out. If such creatures existed, they would give him an edge in the war that was to come. It took him months, but he eventually found them. Aside from their wordless chant, Wargulls had no spoken language, relying on a primitive form of thought awareness for communication. But their minds were simple and their intellects basic. As a result, they had been totally susceptible to domination by a superior intelligence and willpower. Morgareth bent them to his will, and they became the perfect army for him, ugly beyond nightmares, utterly pitiless, and bound totally to his mental orders. Now, looking at them, he remembered the brightly dressed knights in glittering armour, who used to compete in tourneys at Castle Gorlan, their silk-gowned ladies cheering them on and applauding their skills, mentally comparing them to these black-furred, misshapen creatures. He cursed again. The Wargulls, attuned to his thoughts, sensed his disturbance and stirred uncomfortably, pausing in what they were doing. Angrily, he directed them back to their drill and the chanting resumed. Morgareth moved away from the unglazed window, closer to the fire that seemed utterly incapable of dispelling the damp and chill from this gloomy castle. 15 years. He thought to himself again. 15 years since he had rebelled against the newly crowned King Duncan, a youth in his 20s. He had planned it all carefully as the old king's sickness progressed, banking on the indecision and confusion that would follow his death to split the other barons and give Morgareth his opportunity to seize the throne. Secretly, he had trained his army of Wargulls, massing them up here in the mountains, ready for the moment to strike. Then, in the days of confusion and grief following the king's death, when the barons travelled to Castle Araluen for the funeral rites, leaving their armies leaderless, he had attacked, overrunning the southeastern quarter of the kingdom in a matter of days, routing the confused, leaderless forces that tried to oppose him. Duncan, young and inexperienced, could never have stood against him. The kingdom was his for the taking. The throne was his for the asking. Then Lord Northolt, the old king's supreme army commander, had rallied some of the younger barons into a loyal confederation, giving strength to Duncan's resolve, and stiffening the wavering courage of the others. The armies had met at Hackham Heath, close by the Slipsunder River, and the battle swayed in the balance for 5 hours, with attack and counterattack and massive loss of life.